So who's, is this Lord Brahma speaking here? Or is it Narada Muni? Brahma? Okay. The Vedic literatures are meant by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of his body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord. And different sacrifices are performed just to please him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to the Vedanta Sutras, Shastra Yoni Kyat, the Supreme Lord is the author of all revealed scriptures, and all revealed scriptures are meant for knowing the Supreme Lord. Veda means knowledge, that which leads to the Lord. The Vedas are meant just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls, and any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayana Para devotees. Such deluding books of knowledge, not having Narayana as their aim, are not at all knowledge, but are the playground for crows who are interested in the refuge of this world, the rejected refuge of this world. Any book of knowledge, science or art, must lead to the knowledge of Narayana. Otherwise, it must be rejected. That is a way of advancement of knowledge. The supreme worshipful deity is Narayana. The demigods are recommended secondarily for worship in relationship to Narayana because the demigods are existing hands in the management of the universal affairs. As the officers of a kingdom are respected due to their relationship to the king, the demigods are worshipped due to their relationship to the Lord. Without the Lord's relation, worship of the demigods is unauthorized, aviti purvakam, just as it is improper to water the leaves and branches of a tree without watering its root. Therefore, the demigods are also dependent on Narayana. The lokas, or different planets, are attractive because they have different varieties of life and bliss, partially representing the Satchitananda Vigraha. Everyone wants the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In the material world, such an eternal life of bliss and knowledge is progressively realized in the upper planets. But after reaching there, one is inclined to achieve further progress along the path back to Godhead. Duration of life with a proportionate quantity of bliss and knowledge may be increased from one planet to another. One can increase the duration of life to thousands and hundreds of thousands of years in different planets, but nowhere is there eternal life. But one who can reach the highest planet, that of Brahma, can aspire to reach the planets in the spiritual sky where life is eternal. Therefore, the progressive journey from one planet to another culminates in reaching the planet of the Lord, Madhama, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. All different kinds of sacrifices are performed just to satisfy Lord Narayana with the view to reach him. And the best sacrifice recommended in this age of Kali is Sankirtan Yajna, the mainstay of the devotional service of the Narayan Paraya devotees. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvisesa sunyavari pastyatya de satarine manchakalpa taruvischa kripa sindhu bebacha matitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namaho namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All literatures are meant, are made by and meant to be served, to serve the Lord. The demigods are meant to serve the Lord. All planets are meant for his sake. And different sacrifices are meant to please him. So this verse sort of sums up the essence of existence, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. He is the source of everything, he is maintaining everything, and he is also destroying everything through his different energies. But everything is connected to him directly, and everything that is played out in the form of both the material and spiritual realms of existence are orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. For the spiritual, directly, for the material, indirectly, through his different energies. Here we're hearing a lot about the indirect aspect of it, and how one can, it's interesting, Prabhupada takes this particular principle as a gradation from one stage of spiritual attainment, or you might say material attainment, ultimately to the highest planet in the material world, Satyaloka and Brahmaloka, where through various types of austerities, penances, rituals, and the worship of the Supreme Lord, finally one comes to the platform of being on the border of the spiritual world. Of course, the next stage is to engage fully in pure devotional service. So Prabhupada talks about the gradual process here. And that process is also authorized because many people can't take to the direct process. They need to have that, step-by-step process, because the direct process appears to be, for some people, especially those who are affected by the lower modes, passion and ignorance, very difficult to execute the activities in that devotional service. Therefore, to engage in pure devotional service is not for everyone. Therefore, the Vedas are merciful, and therefore they branch themselves in different levels of attainment to help people move from lower modes to the higher modes and ultimately transcend all of the modes and come to the platform of Sudasan for a pure devotional service. But we've been given the direct process. And Prabhupada, as you know, you can see as you read this particular purport, you see what does Prabhupada end with? Harinam Sankirtan. Yeah. And then Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishna Sangupanga Saparshadam Yagyai Sankirtanai Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasaha. That this Lord Chaitanya has instituted, inaugurated, and personally performed the highest and most, what we say, direct form of worship of the Supreme Lord. Yet it seems to be the easiest, but it's not. How many people do kirtan? Very few, proportionally in the world. Some people do kirtan in order to somehow improve their material life. They see any form of spiritual activity as a way to, you know, fortify, support, and attain and fulfill their material desires. So, but devotees perform kirtan, why? To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the highest expression of devotion. When anything is done to please the Lord, and that's what this particular purport is about, and also the verse which illustrates it, that everything is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. You might say, wow, he gets everything? What about me? Where's my position? Well, the point is, your position is intimately and directly connected with his glorification. So whatever we want to attain in life, both material and spiritual, all centers around glorification of the Lord. Why? Because we are intimately and connected to the Lord. Prabhupada would say, you are never separated from the Lord. The separation is just a matter of consciousness, that's all. You can't be separated. It's not possible. That relationship is eternal, it's unbreakable. But the consciousness that is acquired when we deviate our focus away from the Lord, we develop another consciousness, and that is called material consciousness. Or what we say, what would be a better word? Not material consciousness, but wrong consciousness. And here, Prabhupada makes the point in relationship to literature. So when people read this, they think, every book is useless except scripture? Yeah. Boy, you guys are fanatics. But if something leads to help come to the point of accepting and practicing scripture, that can be supportive. But here, Prabhupada says most books, practically everything, that's not connected with is called rejected refuse of this world. That's all it is. And what do? They just cut down trees. They build these paper mills, and they destroy the environment to make paper that is just, and people read and it's all useless. They're all going to hell for the wrong stuff. That's material life. Because it takes you away from your actual goal of life. Well, you might say, well, there's some practical knowledge out there. Okay, that's all right. But if you read, Prabhupada said, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, you'll get all the understanding of practical knowledge too. It's all in Bhagavatam, everything. And not only spiritual knowledge, but how to live life, and even in a practical sense. But that you have to study Bhagavatam in order to find that, because it's really something you have to look for when you read, and you will find it, because Bhagavatam is complete, has everything. Therefore, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, and both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta would say, if you have all the books of the world and you throw them in the ocean and you have only Bhagavatam, there's no loss. And then I think that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, if you took all the books in the world and burnt them, and you only had Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also said, which is non-different than Bhagavatam. Don't think that Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam are different. They're actually the same. One is Bhagavatam and one is living Bhagavatam. Both are living Bhagavatam, but one is the life of Bhagavat, which is the description of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means the life of the Supreme Personality, or the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Bhagavat, and who is Bhagavat? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there's no difference. And that's why Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta said something that apparently is a little bit different than we understand. He said, before you can understand Bhagavatam, you have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita first. Now that sounds a little bit different. And you see, when you see Srila Prabhupada's books, what did he put first before the Bhagavatam? Yeah, he put that first, but also there's 60 pages in the introduction of the first canto of Bhagavatam about the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is living Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is the most authorized literature that explains Bhagavatam as the actual life in detail of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why they say there's only two scriptures. I mean, Bhagavad Gita is nice too, but that's my statement. But anyway, it's also necessary. Well, Prabhupada said, if you have four books, you have everything. And what were those four books? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Nectar Devotion. He said, if you read and study that, you have everything. And he writes that in one verse, towards the end of Madhya Leela, where he says, these four books, all knowledge is there. What is Bhagavad Gita? Is preliminary understanding of the activities of the Supreme Personality of God in relationship to the material energy and his position above the material energy. It doesn't get into the Leelas. In fact, it ends with the point where before you can actually approach Bhagavatam in the proper consciousness, Sarvadharma Pariksha Jambami comes out of Rome. That's why Krishna says, okay, now when you surrender, then you're ready for the next stage. What is that? the knowledge of Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Then you can begin to understand. So we say that Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. Of course, Bhagavad Gita is non-different than Krishna. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is non-different than Lord Chaitanya. And this is a statement by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He says that nectar devotion is non-different than Srimati Radharani. Wow. Why? Because nectar devotion is the science of pure devotional service, which is personified by Srimati Radharani. Her life is Ananya Bhakti, that bhakti that has not even an element of anything of this material existence. Pure devotional service to the highest stage. So that is presented by Srila Rupa Goswami, who is an intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. He is actually Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world. He assists Srimati Radharani in her pastimes with Krishna. So he has put this Bhakti Rasamrita together. And what is that? The heart and science of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada, you would say, read it once, read it twice, read it thrice. He said, devotees should read and study and understand Nectar of Devotion because it lays the whole foundation for understanding the science of pure devotional service. And it's also replete with many of the elements of the pastimes. So this knowledge, of course, here Prabhupada says Vedas, but the Vedas are vast. Who can study the Vedas? It's not possible to study the Vedas. And the Vedas require, you know, great souls to really explain what the Vedic knowledge is. But Srila Prabhupada has taken the essence of the Vedic knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other works, Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instructions also, Bhagavad Gita, and is presented with Bhaktivedanta purports. And without those purports, it becomes really very difficult and practically impossible to penetrate the essential meanings. Prabhupada was on one morning walk with one professor, Professor Durkheim from Germany. And Prabhupada got along with him really nice. They had a nice conversation. You could see they immediately kind of connected with each other on a personal level. And Prabhupada really liked him. So it was very friendly, but very philosophical at the same time. So at one point, Prabhupada started talking about the Srimad Bhagavatam and how that this is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And he said, now Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. And then he turned to, and he said, it takes 1 month to understand each verse. That's what Prabhupada said, 1 month. So he's talking to Durkheim, and now he turns to his disciples and says, how long is that? And some devotee was really fast with arithmetic, and he said, well, that Prabhupada, that's 1,500 years. And Prabhupada said, you have enough to read. We can't even exhaust, you know, even one of these scriptures in terms of the essence of what it's presenting, what to speak of everything that Prabhupada gave. So the point is that this knowledge, and sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I read it already. No, it's not like that. Because material knowledge, when it comes to arts or scientists or practical principles that help people carry out the affairs of the material world, there is a limitation to what you can know about each and every subject. And then that's it. That's material, because material is limited. But spiritual knowledge, especially given by the pure devotees of the Lord, is unlimitedly dynamic. In other words, it has unlimited knowledge. And we all experience that. Each time you read it, it's like reading it for the first time. wow, I read this before. I don't remember reading that. You ever have that experience? Like, where did that come from? So this knowledge takes one's consciousness outside of the material realm and into the spiritual realm. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this knowledge is like a weapon which cuts through all of the illusions of the material energy and brings one to the platform of devotional service. So reading Srila Prabhupada's books, but the thing is we don't read the books enough. Correct? Well, I'm sure many of you read, but still it's not enough. And when I was... This is a criticism, but it's a reality also. We were at the ISKCON Leadership Sangha in Mayapur a few years ago. And during that time, maybe Sutapa was there, they did a survey at one of the sanghas. These were just leaders around the world, sannyasis, temple presidents, regional secretaries, or people who had what we consider to be leadership positions in ISKCON. So at that particular meeting, there was 259 devotees. So they passed out a little paper, which was a survey, and you had to fill it out. And what it was, when you had to write how many times you've read Srimad Bhagavatam, how many times you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Sri Ishupanishads. So devotees filled it out, and then they added it all up, the amount of Bhagavatams, CC, like that, and then they divided it by 259 to catch the average. And for Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was less than one. In other words, it was not if you would, there wasn't even 259 calculations of CC. That means below one. And the other Srimad Bhagavatam was maybe 1.5. So everything was quite low. And it was quite shocking that this is the leaders of our movement. And we don't read the books. But Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada was in Mayapur one time, and he was talking to the book distributors there, and he was saying, he was chastising them. He said, you know, I'm writing these books, and you're out distributing these books, and someone asks you what's in the books. You say, well, my teacher, he writes, and we sell. That's all. He said, no. He said, you should be ready to speak at any time about what is in these books. So Prabhupada made a real strong emphasis on how important, and he gave his life in order to bring in the Bhaktivedanta purports. When everybody went to sleep at night, Prabhupada would take rest between 10:30 and 11. He'd wake up around midnight, maybe he'd sleep for an hour and a half, and then he would begin 2 to 3, sometimes 4 hours of translations on his Bhaktivedanta purports. So he would read the verses by the commentaries by the acharyas, and then he would carefully study what they'd said in relationship to the verse, and he would add his, you know, purports to that, and that became Bhaktivedanta purports. So Prabhupada spent so many hours just to give us these books, and he was tireless, and it was the time when nobody was awake. He couldn't do it during the day because there was no time. He was always either preaching, meeting people, traveling, or doing various other, you know, preaching services. And Prabhupada relegated his time to the wee hours of the morning when no one was awake, just to, you know, make sure he... And he gave us. Sometimes we kind of lament that he didn't finish, but... That's another understanding. Krishna had another arrangement. But Prabhupada gave us 13 chapters of the 10th canto. And he gave us, of course, Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instructions. But he said, if you read my books, you'll understand me. He said, if you want to know me, read my books. He said, everything I wanted to say is in my books. And then he said, if I live a little longer, I will say a few more things. So this was Prabhupada. He really pushed us in a very regular way to read and study these books. And the more you read and study these books, the more you get full in this knowledge, the more you get full in this knowledge, the more you get fixed in Krishna consciousness. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai. So Veda means knowledge, but that knowledge which is Taini Brahma Hida Arikabaye, that knowledge is coming directly, not indirectly, but directly from Krishna himself. Now the Vedas, and then the corollaries of the Vedas also, are also expressions of absolute truth given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and realized and explained by the pure devotees of the Lord, the Acharyas. So this is our wealth. Sometimes you say, well, you know, I want some money, but here's real wealth. Knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and you're fixed in transcendental knowledge, you're fearless. And what is that fear? That is the, of course, the ultimate principle of fear. Shakespeare said it. Here's the rub. That's it. In other words, the end of the body. Everyone, no matter who one is, to some degree always has fear of losing the body. But devotees know that at one time I have to give up this body, so it's part of life. So what is my fear? My fear is not giving up the body. My fear is wasting time doing things that will not prepare me for the time when I have to give up the body. In other words, the fear of wasting time in things that are not what we say important in life or beneficial to my development of my Krishna consciousness. That's the only fear. Otherwise, transcendental knowledge puts one in a state of fearlessness. And that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. So, and here, from this particular purport, Prabhupada really wants to make the point, and he does it clearly. Yeah. The Vedas, everything about the Vedas is in relationship to the glorification and the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all you need. That's all you need. And of course, we also, as devotees, followers of Lord Chaitanya, we are also meant to write books on what Srila Prabhupada wrote. That was the service of the Goswamis. The Goswamis, especially Srila Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami especially, they heard from and understood the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they wrote so many books simply based on the knowledge they received from him. Prabhupada actually said something really revolutionary, which is quite amazing. He said the Shikshastika prayers, all the books written by the six Goswamis are based on these eight verses in the Shikshastika prayers. How packed up those prayers are with transcendental knowledge. You take one verse, you can unpack it, you know, unlimitedly. And that's what Mahaprabhu wrote. That's the only thing he wrote. He did write one small thing, but that was lost in time. But that's the thing. The main thing that he wrote was those eight prayers. And Prabhupada said it's the duty of the disciples to read and study the books of their spiritual master and write books on those. It's a service. He said, write it in such a way to explain that same knowledge according to time, place, and circumstance for people in general. Because as time changes, people's mindsets change also. And what's presented maybe 50 years ago can be represented in a more practical or understandable aspect of devotional life where people who have it in the contemporary times can easily understand that. And that's the duty, he's always said, that's the duty of the disciples, to read and study the books and write like that. We have many devotees already doing that. And there's not enough literature, but it has to be based, it's not that we create some new philosophical ideas, has to be based on the writings of the acharyas, the writings of our spiritual teachers, like that. And then, and it's not hard, if you just read and study, you can see how to take this knowledge to a more practical and simplified way for people in general. And it's a great service like that. Just like I was, I just finished writing a introduction, or not an introduction, but a foreword to Krishna Dharma's latest book on the series of the Bhagavatam called Brilliant as the Sun. And when I was trying to think of things to put into that foreword, I met one devotee. He comes here, Hare Krishna. And he said, you know, I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, and I try to understand it, and I can understand some of it. But when I read Brilliant as the Sun, Prabhupada's Bhagavatam became more easily understandable. It's not that Prabhupada's Bhagavatam is incomplete, but for a certain mindset, the wording can be explained in such a way as to awaken a particular attraction for that knowledge that would be not as easily done when you read scripture with, you know, translations and Devanagari and like that. Because even if you take any one of these verses here and you read it, you have to read it many, many times to really understand more and more about what is being said. Well, Prabhupada unpacks it in the purport, at least to some degree, but it's still not completely unpacked. That's how powerful and how full and how complete and how unlimited spiritually this knowledge is. So here we go back to the same point that this knowledge is, you know, all is needed. And when you have knowledge, you're free. You're free. And that's not a euphemism, oh, well, I have knowledge, I'm free. No, you are. You're above the bodily concept of life when you're fixed in transcendental knowledge. And that's the freedom. Okay, so I'll stop here. Yeah, yes, Adiguru Prabhu.
Or ordinary intellect. So how do we penetrate the meaning?
Well, I'll give you an example. What Srila Prabhupada, I'll use this example. I think this is a foundation for answering your question. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's purports on Brahma Samhita. Okay? Hare Krishna. So, you know, that was available when Prabhupada was here. And devotees were reading it, and they couldn't understand it, obviously. So they said to Prabhupada, can you write an explanation of your Guru Maharaj's explanation on Brahma Samhita? Prabhupada said, no. He said, read it over and over and over again. And this actually works when you read something over and over again and you're thinking while you're reading it, what is it saying? It starts to reveal itself. So repetition is reading. And Prabhupada set up the Bhagavatam in the same way. A lot of the things he said later was simply what he said earlier, but he said it in a different way. So that's the way to more or less to get a greater understanding of what is difficult to understand. It's just repetition of reading. And of course, you may also go to the commentaries of the acharyas and see what they have also said about the same work. especially when it comes to Bhagavatam, we have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. We have Jiva Goswami's, you know, Sandarbhas, which he also speaks about the Bhagavatam a lot. So, yeah, we have that also. But then you read that and then you get more confused, especially Jiva Goswami. Okay.
In the CC, Krishidas Kaviraj Goswami says that if you don't understand in the beginning, just read it again and again.
Right. Yeah, it's the same point. Yeah, thank you. That's an important, because sometimes devotees think, well, I can't understand it, so I'm not going to read it. No, don't give up. You have the ability to understand if you apply yourself. Yes, we have. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said that we can develop the relationship with Prabhupada. When we're reading his books, Prabhupada said, best of me is in my books. When we read them, it's philosophy, it's sort of meditation, his philosophical understanding, his presentation of the tattva. What if we also desire to develop like a personal relationship with Prabhupada?
It's there.
As a second and third generation of devotees, yeah. We didn't have that touch.
I can give you two responses. One, Prabhupada said, my Bhaktivedanta purports are my ecstasies in transcendental love of God. So it's actually very personal what Prabhupada's put down there. It's his expression of his relationship with Krishna through philosophical knowledge. But I'll tell you something. I don't want to put myself up on a particular position, but this happened to me one time. You know, I like to remember this because for me it was a powerful experience. I was sitting and I was reading in my room Bhagavatam for a long time, just reading. And at one point, something happened. And I was not reading anymore. I was hearing Prabhupada speak the words I was reading. It was like listening to a tape. So I was reading the words, but the words were actually speaking to Prabhupada's voice to me. And it went on for a while. And then it stopped. And then I thought, oh yeah, Prabhupada wanted me to understand. I'm in my books. Here I am. I'm none different than my books. So that's pure spiritual understanding, that something is different and non-different at the same time. But Prabhupada, he said, if you want to know me, I'm in my books. If you want to associate with me, I'm in my books. When I'm gone, of course, that's what he told us. He didn't say my lectures. He didn't say my conversations. He didn't say my morning walks. He said my books. And there's a difference. Why? Because what Prabhupada wanted to say, in a absolute term, he put in the books. What he wanted to say in a general sense is applied to time, place, and circumstance, and according to who he's speaking with, and many times like that. But the books are, that's Prabhupada. Does that help? Not so much.
Yes, it helped, but same time when you hear these Prabhupada, of Prabhupada disciples,
that's nice.
It's things like that mellow, that rasa, that unique sort of a connection with Prabhupada, that personal touch, that individual instruction, that glance, that's something like. I don't know if that can be found in Prabhupada.
Well, that's coming from the heart of these devotees. So they're opening up their heart to their experience with Prabhupada. That's deep, yeah. That's Shastra too. Yeah. When we read, that's one thing, but when people speak about their experience, which is based on, you know, their experience with Srila Prabhupada, we get all ears. We get eager to hear. Yeah.
This is just a quick one on your last statement about the fact that knowledge, if you have the knowledge, you're free. Now, this may not be a you know, applicable to devotees, but me being here 3 days, I'm kind of new to this. And for, let's say, the average person, wouldn't the practice of that knowledge make them free? Because a lot of people do, not necessarily this knowledge, but, you know, people understand sometimes what the right thing to do is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they don't quite practice it and therefore suffer because of it.
Knowledge is divided into two. It's called gyan and vigyan. Gyan means philosophical understanding of the knowledge, you know, theoretical. So it's what you read, you get a theoretical understanding. And then there's nididhāsana, that's application of that same knowledge in practice. And that is gyan. So gyan, vigyan, that is vigyan, I'm so. Vigyan means viśiṣṭa gyan, or intensification of that same knowledge, which means realization. So when you read it, and then you learn through your spiritual master how to apply it, then it turns into realization. And that's the knowledge. Because if you don't come to realization of the knowledge, you haven't really understood it. Like how many times we hear, well, you're not this body. Do we realize it? But if you keep hearing it over and over again and continue to practice Krishna consciousness, then at one point you'll get it. It'll come. Yes, Srinivas. Srivas, right? Put it down a little bit, okay.
And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur appeared to him in a dream and said, read Prabhupada's books.
Right.
So same thing what you said, Maharaj. Prabhupada in my books.
Yeah. That was one of his main instructions. Some instructions were very, what we say, foundational to our spiritual advancement. And chanting Hare Krishna and reading and studying the books. That's why Prabhupada set up morning class, evening class, so we would regularly be exposed to this knowledge. But then on top of that, he said, read and study my books. It's an experience. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.